Good evening again to each of you, and greet you in the name of Jesus again tonight. It's good to see familiar faces again each night and starting to recognize people, and they sit kind of at the same place every night, and you learn to look for them and recognize the faces. And so it's good getting to know you all better and meeting with you in your homes and wherever it is. God bless you as you continue to serve the Lord here where He's called you. I didn't know what Brendan was going to say, but I was planning to talk about testimonies tonight, so we'll take that as the Lord put those two together. You know, sometimes a testimony can be just words, and maybe people sometimes say something just for the sake of saying something, but I don't think it should be our focus. In Revelation chapter 12, during difficult times, and it talks about there in verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice saying, In heaven now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And that is, at least if I understand this correctly, is happening now before He is cast out for good. "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." There is something that is done for us when we stand up and say, you know what, God spoke to me in this way, and here's something I just want to tell you all. God spoke to me, and I want to change this, or something that blessed you. There is something that happens within your heart that will not happen when we just keep it to ourselves. So tonight we're going to have our theme song, maybe just sing two verses, and then we'll open up for testimonies for a few minutes. We'll sing our theme song at this time. Someone here that has something they would like to share with the congregation, with your fellow brothers and sisters.
Talked about So you can think about that some more.
Subject this evening is the God of my music. So I guess we mostly think gearing it towards young people when we talk about music. But it's quite likely that some older ones and young married, wherever you find yourself in life, that all of us can benefit from a subject of music. But music has been a part of mankind since early days. I'd like to just refer to what I believe is the first reference on that, Genesis chapter 4. We have a reference here to music, being played. And we also have, music the whole way up through the Bible, and we have it in eternity. We're just going to look at two of the verses here just to get us started. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 19, "And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, the name of the other was Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ." And so that is, as I understand, the first reference to any kind of music in the Bible. I'd just like to flip back to Revelation chapter 5. We have a future scene, and there are many future scenes we could look at. But chapter 5, verse 9, they've sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And there's a song that is sung there that is a new song. And we could go through Revelation and find more. It's just want to bring this out as a reference. But I simply bring this out to start the message saying that God created man to enjoy music. God created man to want to sing and to enjoy it. It's interesting as you study the history of how singing has progressed in the last couple hundred years. And I think of the song of Isaac Watts where he sang, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," I believe, "Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God." And what he was really making a bold statement there, because there was actually a time of turmoil in the church, and some were saying, "We're not wanting the singing to come in like it was." And Isaac was saying, "Listen," he said, "if you're not willing to open your heart and sing, there's something wrong with you." And so he was really saying something bold when he said that. And you know, I really love, our congregation at home loves to sing, and I love that, and I want to promote that, and it's, I think probably maybe a lot of you do here, I'm not sure. I know some of you do. And, you know, as I look back, probably one of the things I should do is kind of tell you my background in music, or my perspective, because all of us have a perspective in music, and it has been shaped by youth and on up. And as I think about where I am at personally as far as music, you know, I wish I would have learned more, and I want to see younger ones go beyond me as far as what I know, because I would not feel real comfortable up here leading a song. That's why I've chosen to let the song leaders do it, just because I just didn't learn that. My dad never led songs, and then when I was in school from fifth grade, my fifth grade teacher was the last teacher I had in school that knew how to lead songs. And so grade six and on up, I didn't have any teacher that knew how to lead songs. And so my teaching fell by the wayside. And I'm not blaming other people. I'm just trying to see what happened. And so one of the things that we've tried to do in our home is to promote it. And I want my children to go beyond me. And we've taken our children to piano classes. I think Travis had 4 years and Kylan maybe two at this point. And we really appreciate what that brings to home life when there's a love for music. And the piano has been a tremendous blessing in our home, as I see it. But you know, we don't have to study the Bible very deeply until we realize that not all music brings honor and glory to God. We don't have to get very far. And music has always been a struggle, especially for young people. Right? It's hard for me in these messages to get people to nod their heads on this subject. And I guess you know that It's only those who are conscientious and really want to do what is right that are serious about music. It's just kind of where the line ends up shaking out, where it kind of shakes out at. So I'd like to just drop back a little bit again and give you a little more perspective of my life. I remember at about age 13, it was about the time of 1992 when there was the Eastern Pilgrim Division. And some of you here don't even know what I'm really talking about there. But during that time period, there was a lot of youth. When I say youth, it was older ones than I was. It was a troubled time for them. It unsettled a lot of youth, and it was a time period when a lot of youth had wrong music. At least from a 13-year-old's perspective, that's how I saw it. I don't know that I completely saw it right, but that's how I saw it. And that's what, at least in the area I was at, that there was a lot of it. And it's even to the point that it's at 13 years old, and I was a Christian at that point. You know, 13-year-old don't always know a lot, but you soon know where. At 13, you soon know where the rest of the youth are. You can just kind of know, okay, we know that these listen to this, and we know it's things that circulate, and you can tell by certain comments of what kind of music people listen to. And even to the point that at least the crowd that I at least was thinking I would be part of, to the point that 13, I was, or 14, I was wrestling with the fact that, okay, you mean I guess this is what I will have to do when I grow up, and I just have to listen to this kind of music. And it's not, I didn't have a desire to. I don't know if that's quite correct. Music, wrong music is always appealing, I think, in some ways. But I could never get past the fact that how am I going to live with my conscience? How am I going to live with myself if I just listen to this kind of music? It was something that was going on in my brain at that young age. And one of the things I did see happen during that time is there was a lot of young people during that time frame that listened to that kind of music, and today they're no longer in the church, or else they're somewhere tonight you would not want to be. And so I watched that. I'm old enough to have watched that play out a little bit and to realize that somehow there's music choices and there's people that decide to listen to that music that had a negative effect on them, okay, to say the least. And so the years went on a little bit, and the group that I grew up with, I'm not trying to hold our group up any, because I know that in my age group there were still those who listened to country music and maybe even some rock. Never really heard much about that, but you could tell by comments that people would make that you knew they were listening to some country music, okay? There was still some of that as I was youth, but the group that I ran around with mostly, we never went there. And I just simply bring that out tonight as my wife and I, we both never went there. And I will admit, probably as a young, in my younger teenage years, I would have at times listened to the radio just off and on out of whatever, I'm not sure what, but no good reason at all. But as I entered, after I was a Christian, I entered the teenage years and was serious about life. I never went there. I'm not trying to hold myself up tonight, I'm just simply telling you tonight as young people, even though sometimes somebody may be able to get up and have a different message, and I will preach tonight, and because of their perspective of what they were into and what it did to them, that's not my perspective tonight, okay? That's not my frame of reference. However, after I was married and then I started working for an excavating company, I started working, they would put me in the shop on rainy days. They tried to make sure I had my hours. Well, in that shop, there's been a few professing Christians in there, but there was country and rock music played all the time. And so anytime I would go in the shop or anytime I would spend all day in there, I was always exposed to this music, okay? And for me is that during that time period, you know, sometimes it would rain all week. You know how rain is, and excavators can't work when it's raining. And so sometimes I would spend a whole week in the shop. And sometimes it was every day, you know, the country music was playing and you learned the songs. But I'm going to tell you tonight, that created tremendous war in the heart. It's not like I wanted to listen. It's not like I was going down the road turning on the stereo myself. But I was in there, I'd be listening to, hearing this country music all day, and then you get home, you try to get a message ready for the weekend, and it was terrible. The songs running through your mind, and the lustful songs that are sung in country music. Now, there were days they had the rock music on all day, and I never acquired a taste for that at all. Actually, at the end of the day, I'd just be irritable. Just that all day, that yelling around. And so, that's a little bit, so I do have that perspective of music, of wrong music. But I still look back to the young people that I have seen, that I have watched grow up, and the young people that were older than me, and the young people that were my age. And I know that they listened to wrong music, and the ones who were jamming country music and rock music, today most of them are not a part of the church. That's just pretty much the way it is. I can think of a couple people who turned around and changed their lives, but they changed them while they were young. They changed them while they were yet young, okay? And so my question is, did their spiritual life influence their music choices, or did their music choices influence their spiritual life? Or maybe was it both? But I'd like to look at what I believe happens with music. Number one is music creates worship. Now we use this board some more next two times I preach, but just a little bit here tonight. Music creates worship. Now we are made up of three different parts. We have a spirit, and we have a soul, and we have a body. Okay? Now the spirit is the part of us that worships, okay? So we have worship, we have prayer, we have discernment. Now down here in the soul, this is where what I call where the gears turn. It's also the mind and the emotions. Okay, and the body, we know what that is. We're looking at it tonight. You can see mine, I can see yours. And so thinking about this whole concept just quickly on how this works, okay, and how you work. We all work. It's that spirit is a part of us that connects with God. It's a part of us that worships, okay? And the spirit gives life to the soul. And then whatever is going on in the soul comes out in actions in the body. And so thinking about the spirit, when the spirit is full of good things, it's going to put good things into the emotion and the mind, and will come out in good deeds and healthy deeds of the body. But if you have a spirit that is full of corruption and evil, then you have a soul that is full of that. The emotions are, the mind is, the gears that are turning are full of corruption, and it comes out in that kind of actions in the body. That's just the mechanics of our body, if you want to put it that way. To me, it makes sense and helps us to think through that. But I want to confirm it by Scripture, the fact that the spirit part of us is a part of us that worships. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Here is one of the very clear scriptures that says that we worship God through the Spirit. It's a spirit part of us. And we talked about new birth a little bit, I think, one of the past nights. And it is the spirit part of us that must be born again. It's a spirit part of us that has fell to corruption. It is a part of us that must be renewed. It must be born again. So naturally, the spirit
part of us is fell to corruption. It is fell to the is our fallen nature, and it wants to follow the corruption of the world and of our flesh. Another verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing also with the understanding. Another verse in the Bible we can pull out that says that yes, the Spirit part of us is a part of us that will pray and sing. Is a part of us that gives worship to God or a God. Okay? Another thought on this, Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth, means God's Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And it's another verse that says that how God relates down to us is through our spirit. So our spirit connects up to God by our spirit, and then He also comes down to us through our spirit as well. And so, I think I gave you this point, that music creates worship. Music creates worship. It is no mistake that we start our church services with song. That's not just a Mennonite tradition, even though it is in a lot of ways, but there is something behind it. There is a fact that when we sing, it has a way of putting our minds in gear and getting us in a frame to worship God. So it is no mistake that we sing when we start our worship services. Now, in the Old Testament, music was a part of worship, and they had appointed singers for various occasions, David did. So music was used for worship up through the Bible. We'll look at some more illustrations here. But turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. I guess you knew I would go there, so we might as well just get out and go there right away. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now there's more in this verse than what we're going to look at right now. We'll pull it out later, but one of the things I want us to understand here that singing spiritual songs connects us to God. Singing with grace in your hearts to who? To the Lord. Singing spiritual songs connects us to God. Okay, music creates worship, this whole concept. Now, turn with me back to Exodus chapter 32. We're going to look at the other side a little bit. Exodus chapter 32, verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount and saw, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. The tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as they came unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger was waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And I'm just using these verses as an illustration that worship to this calf was surrounded by singing. Music creates worship. Okay? It was worship of an idol. But around this was surrounded, was singing. Okay? I don't know what kind of music it was, but I don't think it was godly music. And we're going to pick this up later tonight, okay? A little more of what happened in this illustration, this during this time. Turn with me now to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We know the account here, so I'm going to kind of butt in a little bit here. Nebuchadnezzar made this great big idol, this image that he had set up, and they were commanded to bow down and worship. In verse 5, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, the same shall be cast, the same hour shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And it's another illustration that around an idol and around an image here in the Old Testament was, it was expected that there would be singing and worship. And I'm just trying to prove our point tonight, the point here, that music creates worship. And so we start to put this into our day today. I get in my vehicle and I go down the road and I turn the music on and my body's in there and my body's going back and forth or whatever I'm doing. I'm into the music. I am worshiping whatever is being portrayed in the music that I'm listening to. If it is the music of God, the music of heaven, and you are worshiping God, that's wonderful. But if it is country music and it is, we're in there and we're into this stuff and we're into the lyrics of this and the beat of it, then I am worshiping the idol of selfishness and immorality. And rock music is the same, and the rock that I've heard, it is, you get your spirit into that and you start to worship that. To me, it is outright worship of, yes, selfishness and immorality, but I think even beyond that, and clear out worship to the devil and the kingdom of darkness. Now, between country music, spiritual songs, rock music, this whole thing, there's a whole spectrum of music that we don't have time to talk about tonight. Okay? There's jazz, there's folk songs, there's rap and rock, there's punk rock. Contemporary Christian, and on the list can go. And we're going to look at these some more a little bit later. But I just want to lay the foundation that when we sing, and when we have our earbuds in, or whatever it is, we're in our vehicle going down the road, we are worshiping. Music creates worship, okay? I'd like to ask you a few questions, thinking about your music choices, okay? Because one of my points later is music teaches. Does my music remind me of the blood of Jesus Christ and what He has done for me? One of the things I notice about modern singing is there's less and less talk of the blood. Okay? I want you to just think about that. Does my music choices administer grace and peace to my heart? Music will do generally one of two things. Either I will get excited and I will get into this and get my body going, or somehow it's going to speak to my soul and bring healing to my soul. There's not a lot of room in between. Do my music choices encourage me to bring my problems to God in prayer? Does it challenge me to a deeper walk with God? Does it challenge me to repent? Does it teach me Bible doctrine? Does my music choices talk about eternity and the coming of Christ again? Just a few things to look at. Second point, number two, music gives life or death to the emotions. Music gives life or death to the emotions. Our emotional, think about our soul, our emotional makeup is, it's the real you. And so how I like to explain it is, if you know, if someone is the excitable kind and they're emotionally excitable quick, you think of that, when you think of that person, you think of them that way. If they're just laid back and rarely get excited, when you think of that person, that is what you think of. That's the real you, the real person. Just a couple of verses maybe on this. Jesus talking here in Matthew 26, verse 38. He said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. talking about our emotional, and he had sorrow there, the soul. And here, Luke 2, in talking to Mary, yea, sore shall pierce through thine own soul also, meaning that that's where hurt, that's where we hurt. We talked about hurting last night. The soul is the part of us that can be hurt. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, agony in the heart. That's the soul part of us. It's where the gears turn, the mind and emotions. Now, let's just think about singing affects our emotions, okay? When I worked at the excavating company, it wasn't uncommon for me to drive an hour and a half to work alone by myself, okay? And something, just for me, okay, at 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was that I left, music can just bless my soul. And I can find myself going down the road crying, listening to music. I'm talking good music. I don't know if you connect with that or not. Some people can, some people can't. But that's what music will do to me early in the morning, good godly music. At a funeral, I find it very hard to sing because my emotions come out. It's just, I guess it's my makeup. Now, it's also true that maybe there's a song you really like. You're playing this CD or you're playing whatever you have on your MP3 or whatever you're streaming, however it's coming, and all of a sudden there's a song comes on you really like and you go for the volume button. Or maybe y'all don't do that. Do you know what I'm talking about? The emotion, it's the emotions. Music affects our emotions, okay? That's simply the point I'm trying to make there. It's also true that music, thinking about our emotions, I don't know if you've ever listened to the book Son of Hamas, but one of the torture tactics that the Israelis used was that they would play the same song every day, 24 hours a day. It would drive people insane. That's kind of another perspective on it, but I'm just saying music affects our emotions, positively or negatively. And back to thinking of country music, you know, when I was there at the excavating company, and just to walk in the shop, maybe I went in to grab oil or something like that, and you step into that shop and the country music's playing, and you can almost just feel your feet lift up a little bit, and just something about the way country music was being played brought a lift to your emotions. Now, maybe you don't like to hear me say that. I'm just trying to be frank with you. What music does to our emotions, okay? Now, thinking about, so we're trying to bring this together right here again. Rock music made my emotions go down. Country made them rise. That was just how, that was my makeup. And you might be made a little bit different than that. But the thing we need to think about in the emotions now is the fact that what is my music doing to my emotions? One of the things that happens when I get on an emotional high, I am not able to think as clearly and make as accurate of judgment calls as what I can when I'm sober. Do you agree with me? Maybe not. I think you do. I see some heads nodding. So if I have country music on, or maybe it's contemporary Christian music, and I am listening to it, and I am into the beat of this, and my emotions are higher, I am going to be more prone to not think serious. I know this is very elementary, but I'm just here. We need to understand that music is influencing us and helping us make decisions or helping us not make decisions. And so tonight, if your music, the music you're listening to, is giving you an emotional high, you better take a serious look at the music you're listening to. It is going to thwart your judgment and your ability to make good, sound decisions on life in general. Number three is music will bring the body to action. Music will bring the body to action. Let's go back to, now we just think about Daniel chapter 3. in Daniel chapter 3, music brought them to bow their knee. Now I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at more at what happened back in the Exodus account. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. And this is referring back to the account where, you know, Moses come down from the mountain, the people were there dancing around the calf. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Now what happened here? The short story of what happened here is they got into this music and they got into dancing around this calf. And I don't know what the music content was, but if we go back to Exodus, it says that the people were naked. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us that, in other words, what happened here was a wholesale scene of immorality. It's what happened around this calf. Music will bring the body to action. Did you understand a little more now why Moses was so angry that he wanted, or why God, why Moses was so angry and why God wanted to wipe people off the face of the earth? It makes a little more sense if we understand what was really happening behind the scenes here in there in that account. But you know, today I believe that too many people try to tell themselves, I can listen to this kind of music, I can listen to contemporary Christian, I can listen to country music, I can listen to soft rock, and it will not affect my actions. I'm not going to let myself go farther than this. So I'm here to tell you, you cannot determine that. If you're listening to music of country and rock and even contemporary Christian, you cannot tell yourself that I am not going to let myself go any farther than this. Do we need to talk? Okay, we could go to the extreme. And I'm not going to give a lot of details, but probably you all know what happens in rock concerts, at least a little bit. Immorality, nudity, fights break out. Music brings the body to action. What we worship, what we are emotionally involved in, we will eventually do. What we worship, what we are emotionally involved in, we will eventually do. Young men tonight, if you're listening to country music, at minimum, you have an impure thought life. At minimum. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We will eventually be what the heart sings. And you know, one of the things that I've learned as I've studied into this psalm is that the rock music that is played in America is the same beat that some African people or some other, I think maybe it wasn't just Africa, but they would beat the drums to try to get the evil spirits into the people in these tribes that were perverted. And some of them that have became Christians and came over here and said that the rock music of America is the same beat as what they played to get the evil spirits to go into people. And I'm just here to tell you tonight that if you're here tonight and you listen to rock music, you need to repent. It is demonic. It is of the devil. There is no way that we can go forward in our Christian life if I am worshiping the gods of this world, if I am giving worship to, if I through country music and that kind of sensual and lustful music, if I am listening to that and I'm into that music, I am giving worship to the gods of immorality and the gods of selfishness and all that is portrayed in country music. I am giving worship to that. And there is no way that I can grow in my Christian life. There is no way I can expect to grow when I am worshiping another God. Country music will make you ill-prepared for married life. Country music will not only feed an impure thought life, but also feed an unrealistic view of what life is all about. Now, contemporary Christian music is a mix of Christian lyrics with worldly, devilish music. I don't know how to say it. You put the beat of rock with gospel lyrics, what do you have? You're trying to put good and evil together. And any time the Bible talks about good and evil, when people try to mix good and evil, what happens? People are deceived. And tonight, if you want to get deceived, just listen to contemporary music, and I believe you will be deceived. It's the mix of good and evil together. That's what happens when we do that. Contemporary music is designed to suck you in further. If you don't believe me, just go do some research. Go talk to other people's testimonies that were into this kind of stuff. Contemporary Christian is designed to suck you in further. I kind of got ahead of myself, but I guess it's okay. Fourth point, music will affect our view of truth. And back to Colossians chapter 3. Music will affect our view of truth. Back to Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another how? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. One of the things we must understand is the music that I am listening to is teaching me. I am being taught by the music that I choose to listen to. I'd just like to think about a few lyrics a little bit, okay? And I guess there are folk songs / whatever that sometimes we listen to. My children come home from school last year one time and said, "Dad, you know, we were talking about it at school, but he said, the song, This Old House," he said, "that, is that a country song?" I don't think so. But I looked it up. Sure enough, it's classified as country music written by a country singer, and then he never really went anywhere with him, and another country singer picked it up and took it and published it and made it into something. But I'd like to just think about the words of this. This old house once knew his children. This old house once knew his wife. This old house was home in comfort as they fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house heard many shouts. Now he trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about. Now I just want to ask you something. In those lyrics, what did you learn? What did you learn by the lyrics of that song? Did you learn anything? Probably not. Now let's think about another song. And I know this may be a child's song, but I'm using it for the point of illustration. I'm not here accusing you if you sing it in your children's ministry, but I want you to think about these things, okay? God's not dead, he is alive. God's not dead, he is alive. God's not dead, he is alive. I can feel him in my hands, feel him in my feet, feel him in my heart, feel him in my soul. I can feel him all over me. Now, I agree that children's songs are a little different level than adult singing, okay? But what did that song teach the children? God's not dead. Well, I hope they... It's pretty basic, right? And maybe sometimes people need something very basic. But I'm just trying to stir your minds to think about what are the music that I listen to, what is it teaching me? Okay? What is it teaching me? And the other thing I want us to think about is the fact that music, if I am satisfied in my life with mediocre music, then I guess I'm satisfied with a mediocre Christian life. Right? Now consider that with this song. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Could my tears forever flow, could my all for sin could not atone, thou must save and thou alone. You know, a song like that is just full of meaning, full of richness. It talks about the blood of Christ. It talks about his riven side. It talks about the saving power of Christ. And there's teaching in that song there that makes you just want to dig in further. That a song like "This Old House Will Not Do for You," "God's Not Dead" will not do for you. Just won't. And so, tonight, one of the things I want us to understand and want us to think about in our music choices, that even if all my music was according to the standards that here you go to, you may have music that's really not doing anything for you. Maybe you don't listen to country. Maybe you don't listen to contemporary. Maybe you don't listen to rock. But think about this point, the music that I have, what is it teaching me? What am I learning from it? Consider another song. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Another song that is just rich with meaning and comfort and food for the soul that will help you in your life. Lots of teaching. And there's many songs like that. Let's just think about this song that I just read. It was written by Joseph Scriven. And probably most of you have heard the story behind this song. But just quickly, Joseph Scriven, he lost his first girlfriend through sickness. And it went, you get different, depends what you read, you get different versions of this. But as I understand, he actually wrote this song. He actually wrote this song before he started dating 10 years later. 10 years later, he dated another girl, and I think it was 2 weeks before the marriage, she drowned. But it was between these two times that he wrote this song. And then his mother, I think, got a hold of the song and what published it and left it and got it out. But my point in bringing this up is that Joseph Scriven and many other Christian writers, Christian authors, Fanny Crosby and all of them, wrote out of personal experiences that they had in life. Right? That came out of personal experience. That came out of their heart. Now, I want you to think about this. Two. So when you listen to country music, and they're talking about this relationship with another woman that they have and all this kind of thing, that's also coming out of personal experience. Is that really what we want to do? Is that really where we're going to go? And you look at the people that sing contemporary Christian music, is that someone we want to model our life after? Absolutely not. So I want you to think about this. When you look at your music, How much of my music brings a new truth with every phrase? Think about that. How much of my music brings a new truth with every phrase? And there's a whole raft of music out there that does very little teaching. And I'll admit there's some of that in our cassettes. Some of our one song that someone sings is something about Little Jimmy Brown. I look at the end of that song, it's like, what did that song teach? Is there anything there? Or was there anything for me to gain from that? And my challenge to all of us is okay, if that is all we listen to, I don't know what else to expect if we're going to have mediocre Christians, mediocre music in the future. But thinking about there's a songs that have a new truth for every phrase. A song that has repeated lyrics again and again and again are teaching very little. And actually, today, it is artists today, their goal is to make a hit phrase, and they say it again and again and again and again and again and again the whole way out through the song, and the song becomes a hit. It don't make any sense to me. But that is the goal of artists today. And I can take you to one of the rock songs. I didn't comprehend a lot of the music, but I do remember the one rock song that was sang, and I think it was one word almost the whole way through the song. And so when we see that pattern being worked into Christian music, we know where it's coming from. We know where it's coming from. And tonight, I want to take you tonight. I want you as young people, as young married, and as older ones, all of us, we need to think about the fact of what is our music teaching us. I'm not preaching church standards tonight. It's not that I disagree with them. I'm just simply saying that we need to learn to go beyond our church standards in the way we address our music. I can remember, as a youth, being one of my friends. It's nobody that you know, so. Oh. Anyhow, but his music was according to his church standard, okay? Quotes. But it's the, you know how the, I don't, there's a word for it, I should know it, but how you make music, how you make instruments with your mouth. But anyhow, I'm going to tell you, that's some of the ugliest stuff I have ever heard. But it met the church standard. Did it meet God's standard? No. Number 5, music is an accurate spiritual thermometer. Music creates worship. And I want us to, if you take nothing else home tonight, I want you to think about the fact that music creates worship. We will eventually bow the knee to the God portrayed in our music. My music will affect my view of truth. My music will show what is in my heart. We can't get away from that. If I love country music and I listen to it, it says something about what's in my heart. If I like rock music, it says what's in my heart. If I like contemporary Christian, it says something about what's in my heart. And to me, that indicates the fact that the music I listen to is actually a very accurate spiritual thermometer. It's a good indicator of what is really going on inside my heart. Young girls, the other night I gave you some tips on what to look for in a boy. And I'm going to give you one more tonight. I forgot to mention it then. And that is the type of music. A young man who will listen to country or rock or anything of that sort has not learned to control his passions. And if you marry someone like that, you will become the object of his passion. Young girls, if you are listening to country or rock music, and you think that kind of lifestyle will somehow bring fulfillment in your life, you are sadly mistaken. It will bring you nothing but heartache into your life. Young men, young ladies, whoever you are, tonight, if you have wrong music, if you have country music, you have rock music, and I'm not here to say that every kind of contemporary music is outright sin. I'm going to be careful how I say that. But that kind of music that worships another God, that worships another God, must be repented of, must be taken care of. There is no way we can go forward in our Christian life when we are giving outright adoration and worship to the gods of this world. You know, and if this whole music, we talked about immorality the other night, I'm just going to bring it up one more time here tonight. You know, tonight, that kind of music will ill prepare you for married life. If you think this young girl that you have your eyes on will be the kind of girl that's portrayed in ungodly music, and you think that she will give you anything, anywhere, anytime, like it's portrayed in this world, I'm here to tell you, you're going to hit marriage like a block wall. Tonight, is God pleased with my music? Is God pleased with my music tonight? And part of me, this would be interesting to get everybody to just lay their music out and say, hey, what do you think about this? What about that? And it's probably not even a realistic thing. It would be good to do. You should be open with your music. But tonight, I want you to write the title. The title was "The God of My Music." And I guess you alone will have to decide if that's a capital G or a lowercase g. You will need to decide. Let's bow our heads and pray.